Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back, and it's now or never. This is our, what we've concocted as the special Monday show. And so Fridays are really for feedback, and boy, do we have some feedback for you. As we ended the week Friday with, you know, a Wyoming phone call, basically this coming Friday will probably be consumed with the feedback, or if, you know, I could even go down this path of contention that was probably not necessarily necessary. Not that it would have changed paradigms, but let me just say this, because I don't want to necessarily repeat this when I deal with the contention, but one of the things I've noted is that you need to have a chaplain. You really need to have somebody that their responsibility is to make sure that a prayer is conducted, or that somebody has given, you know, assigned the prayer, invocation, what have you. Because inviting the Spirit into all of your meetings will really change, I think, the tone and reduce the contention. And so the way these meetings are starting, they're not starting on time, you know, because we're still people getting used to the schedule. So it gets fragmented. And then whilst a couple of people come on, before you know it, they really start diving into topics. And two things will occur. I won't get the meeting recorded, because by the time I'm focused on the dialogue, answering questions or what have you, I have all, you know, my mind is not thinking about recording anymore. And so you may need to have, in addition to a chaplain, you may need to have somebody that actually has recording software on their system. And you don't even have to speak. At least you're engaging the recording, because I believe only the host can turn recording on and off. And unless, or have somebody whose sole job is to make sure that the recording has started. That way you can record everything, because boy, I really wish I had last Friday's meeting recorded. And not to flame anybody or anything else, because the dialogue is critical. And we're going to dive into that dialogue and why, you know, it is very important that we profoundly understand the Constitution and the constitutional framework. You're going to learn something about Wyoming and why I see Wyoming as a bright star in the heavens. It's both the people, the people's paradigms, but they're, and I don't want to say that they're children, but, you know, they suffer like the whole world, or at least all of the United States suffers, on constitutional illiteracy. It is constitutional illiteracy that is killing this nation. We're not following the Electoral College. I mean, we've allowed the parties. I mean, I go through how they've manipulated and concocted and created a system and a world that feeds them. And we've got to stop it. It is time to stop it. And so I'm going to do a wrap-up on this Tucker Carlson, Charlie Kirk, because we just didn't have the time. Then we're going to get into the feedback, or I should say, the broad-spectrum warfare that the federal government is basically waging upon us. But you're going to want to tune in on Friday for this Wyoming feedback. And, you know, kind of like, you know, in music, there's feedback on guitars or so forth, and sometimes it's exploited as a part of the performance or a part of the art itself. Because that was one of the big things that, you know, really created some of the sound effects in modern or electronic music was, you know, bringing in feedback and, you know, feedback modulation, which basically were synthesizers are. And then synthesizers took it to a whole new level of creating synthetic instruments, you know, sounding like trumpets, what have you. And so, you know, we've been very revolutionary in so many different ways. Music was one of them. But I'm telling you now, when you look today, there is no evolution in music. As a matter of fact, it seems like music has become debased. I mean, you still have people with lots of talent, but they're very limited. They're not out there innovating in engineering. They're not out there. I mean, we've done some little things on the engineering side, but it is an indictment. I think when we start looking around, the things that they're innovating on may be the depth and depravity of pornography, video games, the addictive stuff, the types of games, what you can gamble on. I mean, they've been gangbusters on innovating things that are destructive. And that is by design. So let me get into this Tucker Carlson conversation with Charlie Kirk. And so I don't have this written down, so I'm actually doing this on memory. And the further we get away from it, the harder it'll be. But you could hear the sincerity. This is one of the things that really impressed me. You could hear the sincerity when Charlie Kirk says, I thought I understood politics, but I really don't understand politics anymore. This is not necessarily politics. And so his paradigm, because bottom line, the paradigm of America on politics is that we elect people to represent us, which is wrong. We elect people to represent the Constitution and act within the Constitution. But everybody thinks that they're there to represent us because everybody's accepted, even though everybody rejects. I mean, seriously, I hear people all the time when people talk about our democracy, people go, no, we're a republic. And they don't even understand what the heck that means. They don't even understand, because when they turn right back around and they talk about, well, you know, you guys have these powers. You guys are compromised. Why are you doing this? Why are you compromising that? You know, and then people, this is what's bringing people to understanding the Constitution, which is why some people kind of understand this, you know, enumeration thing of the Constitution, but they still don't understand it. They're close, or they're looking in the right direction, but then they turn right back around, like looking at the Electoral College, looking at how they amend their Constitution, how, by using voter initiative, democracy. They're invoking democracy in this direction and that. In the state of Washington, a few years back, when they came forward with a voter initiative, because the state legislature, counties, and even city municipalities were creating taxes, and the voters didn't like it. The Republican Party didn't like it. And so they put out a voter initiative that required any form of government in the state of Washington, before they could invoke a tax, they had to put it to the vote of the people first. What does that tell you? The Republicans, who clamor about a Republican form of government, invoked democracy into the Constitution when it comes to taxes. See, folks? See how we are the problem? The constitutional illiteracy is the problem. This is why, and I've said this so many times, and this only proves, when you start listening to these guys that are conservative entertainers, and more specifically, when you listen to Tucker and Kirk, these guys, I think their hearts are in the right spot. They just don't understand. Now, here's the interesting thing. These guys are really smart. I mean, they're much smarter than I am. They've probably got far more education. What I mean, education, formal academic education. Now, what makes a person literate is being well-read. And so there are a lot of people that are well-read, but I think I think I'm a pretty well-read person. I've read lots of books. And I've been very selective with the types of books I read. So there are some books that I haven't read that I probably should. I just haven't had the time, or maybe I can't get it in an audiobook form because I love audiobooks. But bottom line, when we look at these two men, Charlie Kirk and Tucker Carlson, these guys are very, very educated. I mean, they talk about philosophies. They talk about ideologies. And, you know, they dive into these topics where, you know, I can swim in the water, but they obviously have far more scholarly, you know, academic or involvement, scholarly involvement in these topics than me. And that's only because I've always been very focused on what I am doing, you know, whether it was as a musician, whether it was a Marine, whether it was an intelligence person, as an engineer, I really tried to do the best at what I was doing. And you get to a point where there, you know, you get to a point where you go, well, this is it for me. I kind of reached my maximum capacity to operate, to lead, to do what have you. And, you know, one of the things that made me, and I realized this as I look back at every stage of my life, one of the reasons why, you know, a lot of bands, you know, I played, and when we jammed, I've jammed because I was a percussionist, and we jammed and used literally innovation and what have you to no end. And I, you know, everybody loved that. But then when I would go work with a regimented band, they didn't like that because they didn't want a drummer as the leader. Because the drummer, you know, just provides the beat, make sure everybody stays on beat. Well, hey, that's easy to do. It's not that hard. But here's the rub. You know, they didn't want the drummer being the center of things to actually tie everything together. And that's what I always felt my role would be in tying things together, not necessarily being the upfront guy, you know, the singer, the guitar solo, the melodic, but driving the rhythm and driving a rhythmic, I'll just call it symbiosis with what else is going on. I mean, even during guitar solos, there's always room for a drum and, or I should say, an accompaniment, you know, just as a supporting accompaniment. I always think that those things are, they lend very well together. As a matter of fact, when I looked at some of the my favorite bands, they really didn't have solos. There was points in time where an instrument would take the front stage and the rest of the band would be take a supportive role behind it. And that's what I really loved. And so anyway, when I finally got to the point where I could do it, I think I was at the master skill level on percussion, living off of the work. I realized that the milieu, the environment of, you know, bands and how they form and operate, I was an outlier. I love music, I really do, but I said, you know what, I just don't like fighting with people, and doing that is, you know, and to be successful at this is just not worth it to me, because there's so much more in life to obtain. And this was the point when I joined the Marine Corps. So anyway, at every step of the way, I would get involved, and as a matter of fact, when I finally went to college, after I had finally become a, I'll just say, a lead in engineering, I told my cohorts, because we had to have learning teams. We had to have teams that, you know, worked, did research together and created papers and so forth. And if you've been to college, you know what that whole exercise is and the whole point of that, working together. And so I told everybody on the team, I just let them all know up front, I'm not here because I want to take control. What happens, and this is what, and I don't want this, but what ends up happening is, I have this innate ability to actually take control, but I don't take it. You'll end up giving it to me. And I'm just telling you up front, I really don't want to do that. And I'm going to try to be as cognizant as possible to make sure I don't do that. Well, you know, after so far down the road, we got to a point where, you know, it was literally, you know, because the fragmentations of teams and so forth because of schedules, the residual team just said, no, 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 we love it. Because bottom line, some of these kids had other things to do. I was an adult. I was very focused in my studies because I was maximizing this. These guys, a couple of these guys wanted the shingle. Some of these guys really wanted to actually have the learning and understanding. So for the most part, they were happy that I was doing kind of so much work. So who wouldn't? But my point is that that's what ends up happening because that's the way I operate. Now, when I look at Charlie Kirk and when I look at, you know, Tucker Carlson, these guys are, I wouldn't say they're managers. I would say they're leading, but they're leading in academic thought in the paradigms that they exist. And they have not been able to, and I think that they're able to, you know, see the forest through the trees in certain ways. But when it comes to how we've been so indoctrinated, I mean, this is so fascinating that I run into brilliant people, people that I look up to. Did you hear what I said? I look up to them. But they have not, in this one way, they have not. And sometimes these guys obtain an ego. And believe me, I've reached out to many other conservative entertainers and other people, names that I could say that you'd go, oh, wow. And these folks, because they, you know, if it's not invented in my little sphere, I don't want anything to do with it because I want the full control and power because they understand intellectual property. And they understand because they're successful business people. I mean, when you look at all of these conservative entertainers, that's what they are. That's the same thing in the success of any market, because political talk is a market. And there's money that's being thrown around, and these guys are getting paid. And so those guys that are at the top, you know, Glenn Beck and so forth. I mean, when you look at how, you know, who's making the most money, there is, you know, there's a huge pie. This is what I tell people. There's a huge pie when it comes to talking about politics. And the majority of the people that have a possession of that pie do not want to solve the problem because the problem creates the pie. If the solution goes away, if government all of a sudden behaves the way it's supposed to, you wouldn't have to spend as much money on buying these, you know, these editorial books on, you know, my views of the court and this is what's going. There's the problem. Stating the obvious. Here's the problem. Never, never once resonating what the solution is. And to me, I think that's an indictment. Now, you could say, okay, maybe GR's being a little harsh, being a little judgmental when you listen to what these guys are saying. But as far as I'm concerned, once you've heard, and I run into this more often than not, once you've heard an actual solution that you can't refute, why is it that you quickly dismissed it? And I'm leaving the names unmentioned here. And that's just due to the fact that when we actually, you know, boil it down, they're not interested in solutions because solutions don't make them money. And this is where we are. You know, most people like to quote one of the guys that was the conservative entertainer of the time during the revolutionary era. And as a matter of fact, the framers themselves did not, he was not a framer, and they actually didn't like this guy because all he wanted to do was sensationalize things so that he could make money and sell his pamphlets. And his name was Thomas Paine or Charles Paine. No, Charles Paine is, the guy that wrote Common Sense. I'm bad with names. Now, I know that there are two Paines out there. I think Charles Paine is the investor, advisor, former Navy, living today. I think Thomas Paine, I believe. So anyway, you know who I'm talking about. Because a lot of you may have his book, you know, or his pamphlets and find all sorts of great little, you know, sound bites of, you know, this little catchphrase. Wow, that's so great. These quotes. But never once did he care about the solution. He wanted to get the people's ire to invoke a revolution. And boy, you know, the framers go, hey, you know, why are you asking people to take up arms if we don't even know what we're gonna end up having? You know, because that's even worse. What's worse is going and fighting a war and then after you possibly win, not knowing how to get organized, what to do, what are the objectives beyond this, then you're just a sitting duck for somebody else to come along and capture you and then control you again. So fighting for independence, you had to understand where you were going and the way to go. And this is why when you read the framers' writings, even though it evolved over time to the Constitution, they weren't actually just trying to rebel rouse. They were trying to insert principles. They were trying to build upon principles and forming a principled government that matched those principles, where Paine was literally just trying to invoke ire and this is unacceptable. When we look at this conversation, like I said, the sincerity that was coming from Carl Tucker, you could tell that he really didn't understand. He didn't understand politics anymore. That he actually, and these guys actually accept. Now, the interesting thing is, as I've criticized Kirk and I've criticized other people, I've noticed that they are starting to adopt what I'm saying, which means that, you know, they're smart enough to figure out how to change their message to be a little more accurate because they're trying to speak a little bit more about the Constitution and not make stupid mistakes, as I've cited before. So they're getting a little bit better because they're cleaning it up a little bit, but if that's the case, folks, if that's the case, and we start hearing people ranting about Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, and when we hear the people actually are these other people, because you don't hear a lot of conservative entertainers talking about the beauty of the 14th Amendment. As a matter of fact, the jury is still out. They don't know. They have not sat down and read the debates. They have not sat down and actually looked at what this thing really does. And understand how it was truly a godsend. The way it was designed with sections 1, 2, 3, and 4 was just brilliant because 4 was, you know, was, I would just say the trap. 4 became the trap because bottom line, these states wanted to come back into the union because of 4. They didn't want to have to ratify it. And the problem was they needed to ratify it for the United States to become protected. Because bottom line, that amendment made it so that the United States and any state in this union would not be responsible for the debt of the insurrection. So, wow, that's a huge incentive because all the millions of dollars that were owed Britain would just be wiped out. That basically was sending a message to countries outside of America. You want to spend money and basically trying to dismantle or trying to basically destroy our union? Then that money has been poorly spent because you're not getting a penny back. You're trying to overthrow us. You're trying to undermine us. And this is what this debt is doing, folks. If you understand, see, this is the gift of the 14th Amendment, understanding that one part, that one section of the 14th Amendment, and these guys don't get it. And nobody's getting this. And this is why when I hear patriots actually say disparaging remarks regarding the 14th Amendment, then I can't believe that that person has the spirit. I do not believe that the spirit has actually inspired their position. I don't think that they've humbly prayed. I don't think that they've looked at this with spiritual eyes to see the divine hand of providence in this amendment, just like in the Constitution and in the Bill of Rights. There's no doubt in my mind, you know, the amendments from 1 to 13, the original 13th Amendment and the 14th Amendment. The other 13th Amendment basically was the Emancipation Proclamation, or the slaves no longer slaves. That was just basically a positioning, because bottom line, when the 14th Amendment actually came in, it did everything it needed to do to put aside this whole thing, because once you're a citizen, you can't be a slave. And so anyway, when we come back, I'll try to wrap this up, because I want you to understand, when you start listening, when you need to become more of a discriminator so that you can really hear exactly what I'm telling you, that these guys that are entertaining you and us, they do not understand the Constitution. We'll be right back after this. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so here it is, folks. And this is the epiphany that has taken me so long to get to for you. So in these conversations, and when you hear people that are talking about the diametrically opposed sides, this has gotten this way due, and it's only going to get worse. I mean, you can look at this regarding transgenderism and rights to parents, you know, parents' rights over their children, where children are actually winning the war because these people are basically enabling children to say, you don't have to have these mean parents dictate you, and you can have all the fun and enjoy the beauty of sexuality at age 4 or 5. I mean, it may not be there yet, folks, but it's getting there. This is what Hillary Clinton was doing with her It Takes a Village, when she said that they needed to create a government guardian over children to ensure that the parents do not invoke and indoctrinate their children with religious dogma. I can't tell you how evil that is, but that she was setting the stage that when we finally get to the point where we have enough control, because we've enabled enough kids, and now that these kids have become adults, to say, yes, it's important that we do what feels good. It's important that we create a state that supports a carnal state. You understand, this is evil. And so the reason we're here is because of this paradigm. And it really comes down to this, that the Constitution does not allow these paradigms to become so diametrically opposed. The Constitution keeps everything grounded on the law instead of what side is more, you know, more moral or better for society. Which is better for society? This, you know, enabling, you know, the human carnal interest, or, you know, the discipline and enlightenment? See, we do not have a nation that allows itself to wander in this type of diametrically opposed positions. The Constitution is the anchor. You want to invoke these things? Amend the Constitution. You know why they never did? Because they know how hard it is. they know that they would never would have gotten past. It never would have gotten past go. No, they wouldn't have ever been able to play on the board had we kept them in the framework of the Constitution and allowed the states to do what they wanted to do. And I honestly believe, because this all happened, and it happened at breakneck speed after the Civil War. The corporations, the path of America's destruction was put into motion after the Civil War. Not because of the Civil War, but because of those evil parties out there that wanted to undermine us. And these people, so let me explain something to you. When Europe was out there conquering nations and states, Britain, Spain and Portugal robbed the nations of their gold and so forth. Britain may have done a little bit of that, maybe, but most of the nations that they were involved in didn't have these stockpiles of gold and gems like Portugal and Spain. And so look at what happened to all the gold and gems and everything else that Portugal and Spain had. I mean, they spent it. They got all of these riches and they spent it like a drunken sailor. And now they're reeling to and fro because they have no morals. They have no principles and they have no foundation to build that government with. This is why it's always been in calamities, and this is why everybody has been kind of, in Europe, has been kind of subsidizing these troubled nations, Italy being another one. They're on the cusp. But the reason why is because they can't afford these types of civil wars at this point in time. They need Europe to keep its eye on the prize, the destruction of America and the establishment of the global Union under the Antichrist, what have you. I mean, it all comes down to that. So to be very, very clear, if we were standing on the firm ground of the Constitution, the bedrock of the Constitution, and we understood it in its enumerations and the limitations and the checks and balances, this republic would have been designed and actually would have improved its design. Eventually, there's no way we would have ever gotten down to this diametrically opposed, I'll just say, ideologies. The ideologies have always existed. They existed in heaven, of liberty and enslavement. And so, you know, it's sad that people would rather be slaves, because that's what people who want communism, that's their goal, is to enslave themselves to the government. This is an ideology. It is a satanic ideology. It's the same thing as Mohammedism. It's just a different variation. That now it's a righteous God, and instead of, you know, these elected people, these people are chosen, elected by the clergy or those who are the righteous. You know, there's no difference, really, other than titles and behavior a little bit. But I mean, under Islam, you can see the depravity exists there too, because the hadiths allowed it, because it was not of God. And I realize the dangerous ground that anybody steps on when they actually start having, you know, an academic conversation. But the fact of the matter is, folks, is that we're at a point that we could easily wipe away these opposing ideas of morally right and, you know, well, and how the left looks at it, morally right for them. We have a moral right to do these things. Each side really believes it's the right way to go. It's the best way to go. And the fact of the matter is, it isn't the only way to go is by the way of the law. In a Republican form of government, the law is king, not your ideologies. So these guys, Tucker Carlson and ever the rest of them, all of them, really look at public servants as serving their constituents in a democracy. They don't understand that elected officials are held legally bound to their oath of office. Section 3 ties this all together. And if we would hold them to their oaths, we would never have gotten here. And that's why I say today, if you can wake up and hold your public servants to their oath and make sure that everything they do is within the Constitution, both the state and the U.S. Constitution. And if the state constitution is violating the U.S. Constitution, in other words, doing things, allowing federal bureaucracies like the EPA, the DOT, the Department of Energy, all of these things, they're unconstitutional, then you need to step up and say, you have no authority to do this because the federal government has no authority to do this. And so this Wyoming, I'll just say the feedback on Wyoming, the document I'm creating, will really help set that. And I think it'll really help, you know, kind of open, you know, I don't say part the heavens, but it'll open your eyes to why we really need to get back to re-innovating what the framers had done in the direction that they had put us on. This is why we need to actually start empowering our county governments as a Republican form of government based on law and representation of the Constitution, the representation of the sovereigns in supporting and defending the Constitution, not supporting and defending their constituents and giving them, you know, handouts and kickbacks or what have you. That is repugnant. Accidents happen. And when accidents happen, it is the moral responsibility of anybody who can help to help. When you're driving along and you see somebody, you know, that's in desperate need, do you stop? You know, I believe all of those things are etched in your soul. And if you didn't stop, then you'll answer for those. I believe that's the course of direction we're all heading. And a lot of us don't want that. They don't even want to hear that because it makes them feel bad. And they don't want to have guilt. A life without guilt is an evil life. And there you go. So anyway, let me get into, because this is broad spectrum. This is really about broad spectrum. But I think it was really important to actually help you, because this is why these guys aren't even putting it into context. This is why there's nobody that has listed out, you know, the details of this broad spectrum warfare that we're being hit with. And as a matter of fact, one of the things I want to get into, I need to go back, because we talked about cyber warfare. We talked about our social media. We talked in cyber warfare of our voting system. I'll give you another one, because I'm telling you, I'm only scratching the surface on this. And you're not even seeing this. I think most people see a threat in cyber warfare, or in that cyber warfare, in AI as a part of cyber warfare. But here's something I want you to understand. That they can use AI when they get it across this line, and they probably already got it there, where they can actually start censoring information that is essential from our founding documents. In other words, key principles and so forth. As these things start to come forth, AI can quickly go change the documents that are available online. They can even print a new parchment constitution that would pass as a legitimate other than carbon dating and some of those things. And I'm here to tell you that eventually they are going to falsify going into the records, because as we start going through the records and proving these things, they'll be able to quickly say, well, this guy's making it up as he's going along. You need to have your own, and I've said this as a part of the constitutional county, every county needs to have a repository of these documents. And so if you don't have the room to have physical documents, you should actually have a disk. Go get yourself a hard drive and put these documents on that hard drive and have two copies. Seriously, have two copies, because and when somebody else comes along, you share those copies so that they have multiple copies, because you can't have too many copies. when it comes to these essential documents. We need to look at this as like putting the Bible in everybody's hands. Our founding documents are that important in protecting and preserving our liberty. Because if you understand AI and what it can do and how it can actually convince you, I mean, they've got AI that actually they've been reporting that there have been cases where AI has been used with your voice calling your wife or what have you, that this person's been held hostage, that these guys are actually calling as the criminals that are holding you hostage, that you need to go and do this before we kill him. And, you know, you only got this much time to do it. And they're doing this because they know if you react to what they're doing and they're giving you a reasonable ransom, they can actually get that and go away and to say your husband will be, you know, especially, you know, if it happens in enough time before your husband comes home that you don't get found out. They've been discovering that this is what they're doing. Because they don't actually have your husband. They don't have your daughter. They just basically know that your daughter may be out on a trip or what have you, and that maybe they block it. I don't know. But they try to get you to react instead of actually thinking and going, well, let me call her cell phone. Let me call his cell phone. Is he at work? When that's exactly what's happened. So in other words, they're using AI to actually get you to react and giving them something. It's basically like holding robbery without putting a gun to your head. They're putting this fake gun to somebody else's head while they're off doing something else, and voila, they've got money out of you because you quickly reacted, and then then the husband comes home and says, are you okay? Well, yeah, of course, why not? Well, you were held hostage. That's how effective, because they're using your voice and they're creating the dialogue with this artificial intelligence. Folks, this is scary stuff. This is the face of cyber warfare. Cyber warfare is going to become very, very, don't think that this is not happening. It's criminals are using it. The state is going to use it. And the state is rubbing its grubby mitts and probably using it already. I'm telling you, because the actors, those people who we're electing, a lot of them are criminals. A lot of them, not all of them. See, there's this cast of people out there that tell you our whole government is a criminal syndicate. That's not true. That's not true. There are many players that are out there that are just going along with it. There's a good percentage of them that actually are criminals. But I believe that there are good people that are trying not to get along with it. They're trying to fight this. You know, I think when I look at Thomas Massey, in Congress, I honestly think that this guy is not a criminal. I think he's really trying to do the right thing. The problem is he just doesn't understand. He has no clue, or he would actually be saying far more powerful statements regarding the Constitution, and he would become a far more powerful advocate for the Constitution if he profoundly understood it. And this is why it's so important for more people to profoundly understand it, because this is what we need. This is why we're going to have a presidential campaign show to help you, you know, get into the Constitution, how to set policies and how to set platforms and agendas based on the Constitution and those principles that, you know, created the principles that sent this nation in the direction that it went. So the next warfare that we want to get into is the regulate commerce within the states. In other words, this is kind of like, I'll just say, what is this? Okay, this is all under economic warfare, right? So if you, the top layer of this is economic warfare, but this is one of the tactics that they're using within economic warfare by regulating commerce within the states and dictating what they can do and how they can manufacture. The Constitution only empowers the federal government to regulate commerce among the states, not within it. And so as they start going down this path of saying, well, you can't do this and you can't do this. Oh, well, that's okay because China's producing that and you can use that. Well, hold on here. They don't have any authority to do that. What they have been selectively doing in regulating commerce is actually forcing us to, it's just like pharmacies. And the pharmacies, they're happy with using China because China has no scruples. China is going to actually do, you know, all, they'll be happy to do all the bad things that the pharmaceutical company wants them to do. They'll even add more heavy metals. Yeah, let's throw this in. This will hurt them. And that's how we're here in this position. In other words, the conductor that is controlling our government and controlling the world governments is, and this is not just an individual person, this is an intricate webbing of people who have roles and responsibilities. I don't know if you've ever seen a hit team, you know, or I would say a highly trained military team that has very specific missions and targets. When they go and hit an object or hit a stronghold or what have you, everybody knows their jobs. They know all the communications, who's doing this, who's doing that, and it is done by the numbers and it's done on time and in sequence. This is how it's all going down. This is far more elaborate than anybody could even imagine. And all of the players may not even know, you know, that they're a part of this. They just know that they've got to do this one thing on this certain day. You know, or they'll be told when to announce this one thing. And boom, 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 boom. And folks, don't think that AI isn't getting us there. Don't think that they're now using this, that they're not using this technology to be able to execute and prosecute us and push us into this corner. This is really scary stuff. But the one thing AI does not have, it does not have the power of God. It does not have the ability to allow you to do things. And folks, as you act with faith, I am going to tell you that you yourself will testify that I didn't think this would work. I didn't think that I could do this. You know, I just did it knowing that probably nothing would come of it, and something did come of it. And as you follow the promptings, you feel this prompting, you know, reach out to this guy. You're in a room and you see somebody and this prompting, you know, go talk to that person. Don't hold back. Go. And start talking and let, you know, this is kind of like living by the spirit, living by the promptings, living by that little, you know, whatever's guiding you to actually help you say and do those things. Stick with what you're being told to do. Don't put it in your head to do things, because sometimes, you know, we can easily undermine ourselves. But just stick with the framework and then just say, hey, I'd like to work with you. And let them get to that point where they're doing that too. You know, a lot of times, you know, because we read about the spirit of tongues, and that the spirit of tongues is only given when the spirit of, you know, understanding that tongue is also given. And so, you know, I'm just letting you know that God is working. He wants us to succeed. He's and I see him in how he's actually playing these things out. This whole petition on the digital currency in South Dakota, that's huge, folks, that many legislators in the House did not vote for it. I mean, it's a stark contrast that they wouldn't even have been able to pass it. So here's the thing. What's holding us back other than acting on faith? Quit being reserved and quit, you know, holding back. If you're feeling the promptings, that's God probably telling you you're holding back. Start looking at what you can do, how you can do it, because I know many of you are. And I know many of you are starting to receive receive, you know, the affirmation, the, you know, hey, this is really working. So regulating commerce is something that the federal government cannot do within the states, but they're doing this, and it's a part of their warfare tactics. Federal subsidies to pay companies not to produce manufacturing products or produce manufacturing products like EVs and so forth, or shutdowns of COVID and things like that. All of this is unconstitutional. It contributes to inflation, and it also is making us more and more dependent on foreign products and more dependent on our government. this is not good. This is not, they don't have the power to do this. It's unconstitutional. And more importantly, as I'm saying, this is an economic warfare tactic, taking away the individual's ability to basically sustain themselves. There's nothing greater and nothing contributes more to the productivity of society when people are sustaining and taking care of their own lives. The next economic warfare tactic is not having gold and silver backed by using a paper currency to first start inflating it and then move to a digital currency telling you it'll be more secure. It is more arbitrary. Guess what, folks? Paper at least has a value. You can burn it. It may be worth a fraction. 20 pounds may be worth a penny, but that's more than the ones and zeros in a computer's worth. There is no value to an arbitrary setting in a computer. It's not the computer. It's just arbitrary. It's not the value of the computer. It's strictly something that within the computer, it is a reference point that is contrived and arbitrary. It's not tangible. It's not something that you can use for any application like soaking up water, like a paper towel or what have you. Paper at least has some intrinsic value. It has some actual commodity value. Digital currency has none. And it is of no value to anyone other than those who create it to control you. It is that simple. Unconstitutionally creating the Social Security system, this can be ended, but this was economic warfare, by taking you away from actually coming up with ways of preserving and sustaining yourself as you got older. Back in the days, retirement programs were not necessarily something that came forth. Now, they actually became a standard. As a matter of fact, in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and so forth, retirement programs were, prevalent. And in the 90s and the 2000s, as the new gold currency and the inflation and everything else started really kicking in, corporations started moving away from it. It wasn't a coincidence. This is the part and the design, because if corporations aren't offering retirement, it will make you more dependent on government, because if you can't work, you won't have a retirement other than your 401k, which is heavily government regulated. You see, they're trying to move. When the 401k came in, it became supposedly this beautiful picture of, wow, look at that. My 401k, I'm now a millionaire because of these great investments that these guys put me into. That was all contrived. It's almost like digital currency. Do not count and do not believe. If you got 401ks and you can move them into tangible dollars, and then move that into tangible silver and gold, you're far better off. Far better off. Because even though the market may have shot off after Trump, and I'm looking at, because during the Obama administration, before Trump, while I actually had a good high value in my 401k, and when I retired, I basically moved that all over into certificates, cash certificates, an IRA. And so, because you can do that, you can move it into an IRA. Now you can actually move it into a gold and silver IRA instead of a cash certificate. So voila, that's a little bit better because it's still held there. But here's the problem. They're still heavily regulated, even though you may be able to keep some value. But I'm going to tell you that this is all rigged, that somehow or another, we're all going to get hurt. Whether it's in a certificate, whether it's in a certificate where you're getting interest, or a metals where it protects the value, all of those things, they're all rigged unless you move them over to where you're holding the gold and silver. We can talk more about that in our next episode of The Game Changer. So next Monday, I'll start off with that. I'm G.R. Mobley for Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Thank you. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.